And welcome to episode 3 of The Inner Odyssey, a podcast about developing self-awareness, self-confidence, and self-determination through living honestly and practicing self-love. Thank you for dropping by. Today, we will be continuing our discussion about honesty. Thank you for all your feedback on the past episodes. Last time, we discussed that honesty means truth living, truth telling, truth speaking, and truth loving, and how the process of mental filtration impacts accurate and unadulterated expression of neutral things. At the conclusion of the last episode, I asked you to consider a few things. What is your personal definition of honesty? What is your honesty quotient? That is, the percentage of time in your daily interactions you are 100% honest. Why and when do you feel compelled to lie, to be less than forthright? What basic emotions underlie that compulsion? I hope you have come up with some conclusions, as today we will continue the discussion by addressing how do we live honestly? How do we operationalize daily the practice of living honestly? Firstly, let us consider what happens when you lie, deliberately or inadvertently express an inaccurate impression, thought, or idea. As I mentioned before, everyone suffers when the truth is distorted. Whether now or later, everyone suffers. When lies are told, inevitable suffering is therefore being exchanged for expediency, immediate but short-term gratification, maintaining a facade, or whatever else. The next question then becomes, what is needed to maintain a lie? As my dad said, you have to have a damn good memory when you choose to lie. One slip up and you're exposed. Stated another way, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything, per Mark Twain. Then you also always have to be on guard. Sleep with one eye open, else to your chagrin, someone or something may inadvertently trip you up and contradict your previous quote unquote statement of fact. In addition, one lie always begets another. So in order to maintain the plausibility and coherence of the first lie, you have to keep spinning yarns, leading people up the garden path, erecting smoke screens, and all the other idioms that are euphemisms for lying. Think of all the energy and vigilance that takes. But most stressful of all, you lose the ability to look yourself in the eye. Yep, when you are not living honestly, you cannot for anything but a brief moment look yourself, far less anyone else, in the eye. The window to the soul. Imagine that you're getting ready to head out for the day, and in doing so, your final checkup before you walk out the door, giving yourself a quick once over, hair looks good, check, teeth are clean, check, no drool marks on the cheeks, check, eyebrows coiffed, check, but you can never fully assess if your eyes are bright, sparkling, eager, and fresh, never. Try it for yourself. If you cannot do it, I do not believe it's because you are suddenly shy with yourself. I think it's because the only person you cannot deceive is looking right back at you, silently, knowingly, and questioning you, while daring you to equivocate. It's because in your heart of hearts, despite the bravado, the rationalizations, the excuses for or against being honest, you know when you are not being forthright in your thoughts, words, or deeds. As the one person you can never fool is yourself. Whether in thought, word, or deed, you cannot sustainably lie to yourself. This is freeing, but paradoxically absolutely depressing. Despite your most valiant efforts, you cannot knowingly represent something that is knowingly fallacious without harming yourself. We will talk more about this concept of self later, but for now, consider this. Even if you cannot perceive how your lack of honesty directly affects you, know that it does in the circuitous way that the world works. After all, who are you if not your brother? I am going to post this more explicitly on the website as the mirror exercise. Try it out, and if you are unable to do it, think of what aspects of your life you are not being completely honest about. Run the things that bedevil you through your mind. Let me know how it goes. So how do we proceed to live honestly, to eliminate from our experience, thoughts, words, and deeds, things that are without merit, those that are incompatible with your true nature, and entertain only those thoughts that are based on an unimpeachable foundation? A few years ago, I read somewhere that Warren Buffett said something like, quote, "If you lived your life as though everything you did was going to be printed, big headlines in the newspaper the next day, you will sure live differently," end quote. I am sure I butchered that quote some, but the meaning is what's important. I'm going to rephrase it to reemphasize so that you get takeaway. If you lived your life knowing that every thought, word, and deed was going to be exposed to the light of day for all to see, what would you do differently? How then shall we live remains the fundamental question. Well, we make a sincere effort to live like that quote suggests, like if everything is going to be made public the next day, like if all your thought bubbles are lighting up as you go by and your every word is being fact-checked and your smallish action is being analyzed, similar to what persons running for political office have to endure, not only by someone else, but by you. If you stop to contemplate your doings, you will realize that this level of assessment is happening in your conscience, regardless of if you choose to acknowledge it or not. In addition, we make a valiant effort to live in a way that is above reproach, in a manner that ensures that you have nothing to be ashamed of at this moment or today. The tomorrow will take care of themselves. You live using every thought and action to demonstrate the abundance of love that you have for yourself. Not conceit, but love, because love is freedom. We will talk more about love later, but for now, think about regarding yourself with awe. If you are unable to generate feelings of love or awe for yourself, then think of how you would treat someone or something you profess to love. More on this later. Some might argue that lying is necessary because everyone else is utilizing this technique of deception to get ahead, and to not do so puts you at a disadvantage. I will counter by asking you to consider the following. How enduring is that success? How well do the purveyors of falsity and equivocation sleep at night? Can they really enjoy the fruits of their deceptive dealings? What else are they sacrificing? Peace, respect, health, what else? How do their actions affect the other people they profess to love? To get an idea, suspend your cynicism for a moment and look no further than the current news headlines. We are being made privy to some of the havoc that years of deception can wreak, both on a personal and at a corporate level. Those parties were held up as the pillars of some segment of society, or something to emulate because of their success or commitment to social responsibility or some other such thing. More troubling, however, is the fact that they are in a position to make decisions that affect us all. Think about the angst in your own life. How much of it is rooted in deception? Another argument against honesty deals with circumstances that can be painful or cause harm when the truth is told. I don't like to deal with hypotheticals because you can never be sure what you would do or how you would react in a given situation. I was recently watching a show about a regular guy and some friends who were overseas climbing for leisure, and they were captured by rebels during a time of civil war. To save himself and his group, he felt that his only recourse was to push the captor over the cliff. Yes, take a life. At the end of the ordeal, and years later, he was still wondering where that ability came from. He knew that in his heart, he did not do so from a place of malice, and eventually came to the realization that his self-imposed boundaries and intellectual limitations can be supplanted by the demands of circumstance. When the foundations by which you live are sound, there are usually no questions as to how to react given a certain set of circumstances. Another thing to consider, how would you feel if the roles were reversed when the truth comes to light, as it most inevitably will? You will face criticism either way. Whom are you really trying to protect, the receiver or yourself? What other and how many other lies will be needed to maintain the plausibility of the first lie? How deep a hole are you willing to look out from? 4 feet, 10 lies, or a lifetime of hiding and lies? Remember a few things regarding this or any other situation. the thing that is being observed is inherently neutral and therefore should be expressed as such, with a pronouncement of uncertainty, leaving room for contradiction or amendment. No matter if you are a polyglot, it is never your job to interpret. Just provide to yourself and others the primary impression, because we never, at any given time, have all the information needed to make conclusive statements. So, to reiterate, when the truth is distorted, whether now or later, suffering will occur. Moreover, what is more facilitative of a life of peace, health, and contentment but a clear mind and open heart? Can you envision how it would feel to have nothing to hide, nothing you are scared of coming out, being exposed, nothing to be embarrassed about? How much freedom and power you will harness for yourself with a single commitment to honesty in all your dealings. Can you envision how it would feel to have nothing to hide, nothing you're scared of coming out, being exposed, nothing to be embarrassed about? How much freedom and power can you harness for yourself with a single commitment to honesty in all your dealings? Things that previously had the power to cause you embarrassment no longer will, because you were expressing pure, unfiltered thoughts, feelings, and impressions. So, you will laugh more heartily. You will sing in the streets, not only in the shower. Sure, you have seen that guy or gal jamming to the tunes from their headset. Bet it made you smile. You will skip, saunter, and strut, and naturally stand in power poses, even at the crosswalk, because you feel so much lighter, more confident, more worthy, and rich. You will smile and greet everyone that you encounter because life is good. You will want to forgive and forget because the burden of anger or grudges and revenge clip your wings of joy. You will be so much more tolerant, understanding, and non-judgmental because you can see things for what they are, in the big picture, marginally important. You will feel so good and do those things that are demonstrable of you loving yourself, admiring your uniqueness and awesomeness. But most of all, you will begin to see and appreciate fully the beauty all around you, and love everyone and everything more readily without thinking, without expecting reciprocation, without condition. Probably walk around humming, "I'm so pretty, oh so pretty." I don't know the rest of it, but you get the picture. You will bring so much light in your world that everyone in your vicinity will be wanting some of what you're having. Some begrudgingly, of course, but still wanting it. Now to me, that is freedom. That is love. That is peace. Freedom that only an honest heart and a clear mind can buy. Love that is unattached to outcome, unconditional and bountiful. Peace that is all enduring, regardless of circumstance. No one is going to be perfect because that would be quite boring. There would be nothing to do, nothing to strive for. Achieving perfection will be like when the dog finally catches the school bus. Now what? The goal is simply to improve daily until you can say unequivocally at all times in any given situation, regardless of consequence, that you have done your best. Within the constraints of your knowledge and limitations of your information, you are ready and willing to admit when you have made a mistake as soon as you realize it or it is brought to your attention. You are doing what you know to be right and living in your truth. You feel empowered to say what you mean and mean what you say, always. You have told the truth as you understood it, gently, simply, deliberately, and tactfully. You insist on treating others as you would like to be treated, were the roles reversed. You have refused to compromise your integrity by engaging in acts of duplicity like lying, cheating, stealing, equivocation, obfuscation, withholding information, rationalizing things, being phony and disingenuous, etc., etc., etc. You are true to yourself and did not, under any circumstance, do things that cause you to avert your eyes from yourself or others. Kind of like, look me in the eyes, citizen. So in summary, living in absolute honesty, like anything worth having, is a journey inwards that takes patience and a decision to persevere. It entails that you act with love and respect towards yourself and others by exercising restraint in your assessment of what you observe, feel, and notice, and leaving room for contradiction, amendment, and improvement, the influence of the influx of new and pertinent information. This is not easy. No one is asking you to be perfect. For that matter, any interpretation that you have gained perfection will only lead to complacency and regression. For that matter, what is perfect anyway? Instead, the challenge and the resultant lessons are in the striving, in the determination to be better than you were last time, in the development of the ability to make real-time changes when you detect something is not kosher. Then, one day, you will approach a state where honesty is second nature, regardless of the consequences, like breathing or blinking, something that happens without you paying it any mind, but nonetheless amenable to your influence if you deem it necessary. Now that is a goal worth striving for. That is freedom, that is power, that is love, honestly. I hope you have enjoyed this episode. I have. Remember to try the mirror exercise. It is posted on the library page at theinnerodyssey.org. So, with honesty as the foundation, next time we will continue the discussion with addressing who are you? Thank you so much for listening. Until we meet again, care enough to act with virtue, dream despite your deepest fears, live honestly with dignity and grace, and above all, love without expecting reciprocation as you continue your inner odyssey. Share the show and subscribe to our podcast at anchor.fm/theinnerodyssey, Spotify, iTunes, and wherever you get your podcasts.